from an undisclosed location.
Our underground lair.
So today we are here to talk about the virtues of an annoying smartphone, but we need to back up first with how you ended up with an annoying smartphone, because none of the streams of information that led into your buying said smartphone were influenced by the tagline, "This one's really annoying."
I know. Well, it is annoying. Let me just qualify that by saying I have come to understand the ins and outs of it to a degree that it is no longer very annoying. It's only just slightly more annoying. But even more than that, I think I was just simply inspired to, you know, jump deep down into the rabbit hole, which of course I want to do. So that's what I did.
He is, listeners, he is wont to jump down rabbit holes.
Yes, and of course my operating threat level is surveilled by a state actor, and so I might as well go all the way. So after reading Michael Bazell's Extreme Privacy, I went extreme, and I got a Google Pixel phone. Excuse me. Shifting around here.
Listeners, can you tell we don't edit these episodes? We just go for it.
Yeah, so I got this Google Pixel phone.
Now, I think everyone, all 11 of, by now, of our faithful listeners are screaming at their podcast apps, wait, you bought a physical Google product after all this time, 30-some episodes telling us that Google is evil and surveilling and plundering our privacy, and you bought a Google product? What happened?
Well, it was simply recommended by Michael Wazell, and there's a very specific reason for this, is that I wanted to run an operating system, an Android operating system, that is completely de-Googled. So, yes, the machine itself, the device, is manufactured under the auspices of Google, according to their hardware specifications, but in fact, the operating system is an open source project. Android as an operating system is open source, and there is a fork of it called GrapheneOS.
You need to explain the fork, because I think some of our 11 listeners might be literally thinking there's a fork that you eat with.
Well, if you think of software as a river that is flowing down the great mountain, then there are places where you can simply fork off. You put a little dike in there and you fork off the code. So basically, Graphene is forked at the point where Google starts putting in its proprietary services into the operating system and goes another way, hardens the kernel and the operating system in various ways against tracking and certain security exploits, but continues to operate basically as Android.
Okay, so I'm guessing Android at least will be a word familiar to people. It's like a base level operating system. It's like the bare bones engine that can be used for things. The other bare bones engine is from the Mac, or from Apple, right?
Yeah.
Those are the two main ones for smartphones.
For smartphones, the two main ones are iOS.
Which means Apple / Mac.
Well, no, it doesn't run on the Mac. iOS is only for iPads and iPhones.
Okay, but it's from that company.
Yes, from Apple. And then Android, which is usually run on other kinds of smartphones.
Right. And it's the one that Google puts its stuff on top of.
Exactly. So you have you have the Google Play Store, you have Google services that are built into it. So it developed this operating system for its own ends, but there are people who have forked it to remove the things that are specifically connected to Google.
Right. And I think, I'm guessing, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that developing an operating system requires so much capital and labor investment that there probably exists some others, but basically none's going to have a big market share. It's ultimately going to be the Apple and the Android versions going forward, because they're there, you can use them, and developing your own is just too big of a project.
Basically, Android is subsidized by Google, and they want it to be open source so that they have lots of people looking at its code, as opposed to Apple, which has a closed source system. Both are very secure. Their security is top notch.
But at the forking point from Android towards Google, that's when the privacy becomes questionable. So this Graphene version that you can.
There are several different flavors of called de-Googled Android operating systems. There's Lineage. There's EOS. There's I don't even know all the names of them. So
basically,
graphene is sort of, it's probably the most paranoid.
Okay, well, that explains why it appealed to you.
But it's also extremely easy, actually extremely easy to install. The reason you have to use a Google phone is because Google, unlike most other phone manufacturers, allows its Pixel phones, allows you to unlock the boot loader and relock it. And what that means, basically, is that the boot loader is what... It's the very, very first thing. I'm probably going to get this somewhat technically wrong, but what you want to do is to prevent anybody from, if they have physical access to your device, from installing something on it that you wouldn't know. And that there's a bit of code that runs right at the boot up process that checks things to make sure that there's nothing on it. And that's the bootloader. And other phones, you can install other operating systems on them, but you cannot relock the bootloader afterwards. So this is something that's specific to the Google Pixel, and there are a couple of operating systems that you can run on it. One is called Calyx, the other is Graphene, and they're similar privacy-oriented forks of the open source and Android open source project.
Okay. So the way you actually physically acquired the phone, though, allowed me to have a little fun playing at Spycraft, because, as listeners know, we do not live in the United States, although we are U.S. citizens, and sometime last year, I guess, I was in the U.S. when you were not, and so you gave me specific instructions about what store to go to, what exact version of Google Pixel to get, and, most important, that I was to pay cash for it, which made me feel totally gangster to have that much cash.
Low-level gangster.
In the United States, people don't generally carry that much cash on them. Where we live now, people carry tons of cash. It's absurd. but in the U.S., you don't usually have that much on you at a time. And there was one other thing. What was it that came up when I was buying it? They wanted some kind of information, right?
And I had to figure out a warranty or a rebate or something like that.
So I think I made up, like I had to handwrite something. I think I made up a name and an email address and maybe a street address just on the spot, because I was like, I had this total clutch moment. You weren't there. I couldn't access you by my own phone to ask what to do. Plus, it would have been a little bit suspicious if I had. But I was like, oh my gosh, if I answer any of these questions honestly, I'm going to blow Mr.'s cover. So I was like, all right, Sarah, just do it. Just make it up. Just lie. And I did. I fabricated everything that I put down on there.
Yeah. Yeah, though, there it was.
Clearly, nothing bad has come of it. So.
No, and it's just a standard Google Pixel phone. There's really nothing fancy about it.
All right, we'll talk about some of the annoyances of it, however.
Because
you were really annoyed with it at first, because you're moving from a Mac. Before this,
I had an iPhone, and so I think a lot of the annoyances are simply the difference between the Google and the Apple ecosystem. Well, first of all, since the whole point of it was to do a de-Googled Android experience, you don't have the Google Play Store, you don't have the Apple Store, of course. And so there are other ways you need to get your programs. Mm-hmm. But here is the trade-off. Google and Apple stores, although there's some sketchy things in there, in order to be able to get in those stores, they have to pass some audits, security audits. So if you have your own and you're what's called sideloading, meaning loading it from outside of the official App Store, you have to be doubly sure, triply sure that you're actually loading legitimate software. So the first thing you need to do is actually find legitimate sources, which means you need, it all goes on reputation, but you need to do it in various ways. So
be more careful than usual even what apps you put on your phone.
Yeah, precisely.
If you do a de-Google.
And so I think the easiest way to do it with something like the Graphene OS is to find an application called the Aurora Store, and it's basically a mirror of the Google Play Store, and that allows you to load apps that are on the Google Play Store onto your phone through a different method, which is actually probably, for most people, is probably the most secure way of doing it, because if they're in the store, then they've been vetted to some degree. You know it's by the developer it says it's by.
So were there things you wanted to get that you couldn't, or things that didn't work very well on your de-Googled phone?
Well, the first thing that happened is the moment I bought it and installed Graphene OS, there was a glitch happening in the Aurora store, such that it would not allow me to log in. Or actually, you don't. I didn't log in at all. There's no. You don't need to create an account. And so I couldn't get the programs that I wanted, or not all of them that I wanted, mm-hmm. in order to set it up. Basically.
But it was a problem on the Aurora side, not on
your
side.
Aurora is a little bit in a gray area. It's not illegal, but it's something. No, but it's Google doesn't. I mean, it's basically acting like a front to a bunch of people who are uploading their own, who are downloading their own apps.
That's true, and the phrase "a front" never suggests anything illegal. Okay.
Yeah, so it's Google allows it to happen. Let's just say that,
okay.
And it could be that they turn off the faucet, in which case you'd need to find another source to get legitimate applications. There are other places. There are mirrors of Google.
So did Aurora ever bounce back, though?
Yeah, within a couple of weeks, it bounced back. Then I was able to use it. No, but for a while, I had to find my APKs. That's the programs, the Google programs, from other sources, and also had to make sure that the sources I was getting them from were actually legitimate sources.
Right.
Because if you download something that's not legitimate, then you've just put spyware on your phone.
Which the whole point of the exercise was to avoid doing that.
Yeah. So let's just a caveat: if one does go this path, and I would recommend most people that this be a ways down your journey, so to speak. You do need to be very careful about the sources. And a lot of them actually are available. The smaller open source projects publish their own program was signed by their own developer key on GitHub, actually, which is the source where most open source projects are hosted, and you can download it there. And there's some programs, one called Optanium, which allows you to locate and to update that kind of stuff. But it's not as smooth an experience. You have to manually update the programs. You have to find them. It's a little bit like one of those old pets that you would have. You have to feed them.
Oh, the Tamagotchis.
Yeah, the Tamagotchis. It's a little bit more like that than the seamless background experience that you get with standard Google.
You know, it's kind of a truism now that we all say, oh yeah, it's convenience that's robbing us of our freedom, of our democracy, of our independence. And I suppose in some ways the annoying smartphone is reminding you that yeah, there's something a little sinister about the smoothness and convenience of the kitted out smartphone experience.
Yeah, and another thing that's going on too is that you can allow it can be almost as convenient. I have to say, by the way, that the Graphene software, the actual operating system, is very smooth and updates seamlessly and regularly. With the latest security updates. So it's very smooth and clear. It's simply the App Store experience is not as it's not as smooth.
Okay.
However, I will say that it is possible with Graphene OS. You can simply use this Graphene OS and then sign into Google Play and have the usual Google Play experience. You can do that with an anonymous account. You don't need to use one that's connected to your real identity. And that would get rid of almost all of those annoyances. You would have basically a full Google Android experience, but it would have some of the security and privacy advantages that Graphene offers, even though you would be signed in to Google.
But, I mean, wouldn't that defeat the whole purpose?
No, not the whole purpose. Even besides there are all kinds of things going on in the background with Google on a stock Google phone that would not be happening in a Graphene phone. For example, the Play services on Graphene OS are sandboxed so that applications can't talk to each other.
Oh, right.
They can't talk with Google unless you give them permission to do that. So there's a kind of control that you have over which applications are using Google and which aren't.
Right. So actually, when I think about the annoyingness of your smartphone, the main thing I think of is how you always have to blow on your finger before you press the little fingerprint thingy.
That's actually more the hardware, I think. Basically, the fingerprint sensor on the Google, it's a Pixel 6a, I believe, is just not as good as the one on the Apple phone. It's underneath the screen, and I put a screen protector on it, and I've never been able to have it open seamlessly for me.
Right. I do notice that your screen also blanks out if you're not looking. I mean, like off to the side when you try to show me something, I can't see it at all. Like a lot of laptops have that now.
Well, that's the screen protector. It's a privacy screen, so you can't see things from the side.
Okay. Well, that's something people might want to consider out there. Something that prevents people from spying.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like
visually spying
like
on you.
If you're beyond whatever 45 degrees on either side, however, the image starts to go away.
So right.
It offers a small degree of and privacy if you're concerned about that. Anyway, so that's I have to say, it's as I've learned how Android works and the various quirks, it's a lot more smooth an experience. And it is true, you have an immense amount of control over the kinds of data you're sharing.
So I'm curious, do you ever use location services? Is there a location services on your phone?
Yeah, of course there is. Yeah, of course.
Okay, do you use it?
Yes, I use it quite often.
That doesn't give away stuff you don't want.
No, because it's location services only is allowed on the applications that you let have access to location services.
So what map app
do you use? Map app. So I have a map app that I usually use called Organic Maps that I allow to have access while I'm using the application.
Do you deliberately avoid using Google Maps?
I don't have Google Maps downloaded. Mm-hmm. I use the web application for Google Maps when I need to.
Okay.
And that is fine.
Because I only now turn on location services and use Google Maps when I have to. We live in a place that is famous for being hard to get around with a paper map. Otherwise, I think I would fight it out. But this is a particularly challenging place to do that in.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people did before smartphones, though that's actually a point we should come back to in just a second. But until we started doing this whole project, I didn't even know location services was on. I didn't know it was on constantly. I didn't know that it was basically tracking and uploading all of my physical movements. And there's something deeply disturbing about your browser knowing all the websites you look at and sending that information off to whomever, but having my physical movements tracked really, really bothers me. So even now, I will turn it on when I need to do like an immediate navigating task. But I'm always like, how much more of this of how much are they, whoever they are, figuring out about me every time I turn on location services and use a map?
Right. Oh, and again, this is something that...
But then you said if you have a phone on at all, they already know where you are
because
they have to locate you.
Yes, they do, because they can triangulate your location within with a great degree of precision simply by using the cell towers that you're connected to.
And that would be the case even if you used a dumb phone, right? A dumb cell phone.
Yes, anything that's connected anything that's connecting to the network, it has to know this information in order to decide which tower to use. So that's very...
That's just so
crazy. There's no hiding. I mean, you can only obfuscate to some degree if you are able to buy a SIM card anonymously.
Right.
And there are some new services that offer you to change your IMEI or one of them is like called Invisiv, I guess, is a new service, and they have partnered with some of the telecoms that allow you to change your SIM card's IMEI a certain number of times per month or whatever. You have to pay for that, but that allows you another degree of anonymity from the network carrier. However, you're transferring your trust to this company at that point.
Plus, also, I would think that if you move in the same patterns through the day, like your usual routine with work
or
school or
whatever. Very easily fingerprinted.
Right. Well, okay, so...
You don't need to think about that. Most people don't need to be concerned about that.
I know. I just think the fact that it's there in principle is disturbing. But okay. Well, for another time. So anyway, the point of this discussion was actually not to recommend to anybody out there, all 11 of you or maybe 13 of you by now, to get a Google Pixel and de-Google it and use Graphene instead. But I was just curious, like, is the process of changing over, using a different smartphone, making these deliberate decisions to block its access to your information, but also just being a little bit frustrating, has it taught you anything about your own smartphone use just in your daily life that is like a window into the larger discussion about how digital things have ensnared us and entangled us?
Yeah, so now I by default say no to all notifications. No, I did that for a long time. I'm even now, I am still working out a routine that I would be satisfied with, because I do take the phone with me in order to be in touch with you and with the rest of our family and sometimes with colleagues. It's necessary, but I would prefer to leave it behind and not have to have it around so much. And just because it's de-Google doesn't take away all of the other snares that may be attached with it. So having it being a little more annoying and having to set it up a little more deliberately, I think it makes clear and has brought to the fore some of the patterns and habits that I had. And I hope that I'm able to practice a little more minimalism than I had before.
All right, good. Well, I mean, I think what we've learned is this we both hate the word journey, but we've realized this is a journey.
This is a journey.
It's a long journey. You really have to take just a few steps at a time to make any progress.
Yeah, so for those of you, it actually, the graphene experience, again, if you just want to have a regular Google experience on an Android phone, you can upload Graphene OS as a web installer. It's very simple. And you can go from using Google as you have previously before, or you can be completely no Google on the phone if you want to. If you want to simply restrict yourself to open source applications or using the Aurora Store, it works. I've never had any trouble. The only trouble people seem to have occasionally are with things like banking apps.
Understandably,
they have a lot of anti-fraud measures in them that require they use the tracking features in order to prevent fraud. So those are probably some of the more difficult ones. But I've had increasingly less and less trouble with it. I'm by no means exhausted the privacy and security advantages or possibilities of using this particular method.
Okay. Well, we're still feeling our way into this second season here, and we thought we'd try to get a little bit more philosophical and cultural rather than practical tips. I think we already mentioned that. But give us feedback if there are things you'd like us to help you think through. And particularly, we're considering for a tagline, bringing you to the edge of the abyss, but not pushing you in, or something like that. That doesn't seem very inspiring, though.
No, we had one more suggestion.
Oh, yeah, someone suggested.
From one of our 12 listeners.
What? Taking a bite? No, I can't remember now. Sorry. You know who you are. I got your recommendation. I'll look it up next time. We'll get it in. But see, I think this is a key point. I'm not stopping everything to go and look it up on my email, as we're all want to do these days. I'm actually restraining myself. I will look it up later at a more appropriate time and come back.